This Super Bowl is kind of like a homecoming for you. You spent a lot of your early career in Minneapolis. What does it mean to you to be coming back here?
I still live here.
Still live here. So what's it mean to be home?
It means I got to be in the carpool lane in 90 minutes. But you know what? It's really special. It's been a long time that Minnesota has known they're going to have this game. The stadium is, I think, outstanding. Like, I can't say enough about it. And to be able to kind of show that off to the world... I sent my mom back in Manhattan Beach, California, a magazine from Minnesota, and she said, I had no idea the architecture was so nice in Minnesota. You know, what do they think we are out here? Yeah. So I enjoy that the world gets to see what this place is really all about.
How much time do you spend in the Mall of America when it's not in Super Bowl mode?
Zero.
Too much of a tourist attraction out?
Yeah, I just can't justify it. Sorry, kids, we're not going to Mall of America. Let's find some. But it's a really cool thing, and I think it's really neat how it's... I remember when I was first moving here from Charlotte, North Carolina, and someone said, you know, they have the biggest mall in the world out there in Minneapolis. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's a remarkable place.
So since you're still a local, what's the biggest food place I need to actually try to get out to? Where can I get a Juicy Lucy, and what exactly is that?
I've never had a Juicy Lucy, and everyone's told me about that. They're burgers that are apparently, like, beyond juicy.
I think they have cheese inside them.
I think that might be true. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a meat eater like that, but... Gosh, all the good places are probably booked solid, kid. You asked me like 2 weeks too late. All the reservations are booked.
All right, I'll get you out of here on two more questions. Okay. How has the position of sideline reporter evolved from when you first started to now?
Well, you know, I think when I first started, their expectation was you're going to tell fluff stories.
Yeah.
When this guy scores a touchdown, you're going to tell us about his wonderful background playing violin as a, you know, high school sophomore.
Yeah.
And I'm just making that up.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know, maybe it's because I've been part of a crew that really appreciates my role. It's all about live cover. What is happening down there? I talk to a lot of players before every game, and I still try to get nuggets to advance stories or show people a side of players they don't know. But it's got to be within the scheme of the game. And I think that it's rather than just a separate entity down there, it's much more integrated into the rest of the game so that everything flows, so that what Al and Chris are talking about, I can chime in on and vice versa.
We are a Patriots affiliate. How do you handle a Bill Belichick interview on the sideline?
Listen, I know what Bill's... I've worked with Bill for so many years now. I know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I know that no coach wants to be talking to a reporter at halftime. I mean, that's probably the last thing they want to do. So I'm very respectful of time. I try to be economic with my words, get to the heart of the matter. I don't spend a lot of time talking. I spend a lot of time listening. And you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit, as my kids say. You get what you get, and you deal with it. And, you know, if he's in the mood to talk, great. If a coach is not in the mood to talk, I appreciate that. And I just do the best with what I can. It's the most challenging part of the job, there's no question, talking to coaches at halftime, making sure you get something. You know, that matters to the viewers. And that is a challenge every time, no matter who it is.
Michelle, we appreciate it. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you.